Thank you, Dave. I actually love custard, so you know, would really welcome. I think, you know, those sort of kids things, if you get a shaving pie, a shaving foam pie, it's just a waste, right? You know, at least if you're going to get pie to the face, at least enjoy it with some custard or something like that. So I love custard. So, you know, if I've got a birthday coming up, if people want to bring me custard, that's always welcome. Just have copious amounts just going on. But we're continuing our series. We're continuing our series looking at our vision for the church. And, you know, our vision is to be a community of believers who wholeheartedly love God, love one another, and do mission together. And over these last few weeks, we've been exploring, you know, aspects of wholeheartedly loving God and how that helps us as a community to grow in faith, and how just recently we've been looking at a few things about how we can love one another and how that helps us to grow together. And so we're going to continue that today, looking at, you know, exploring building community. How can we build community together, and how does that help us? And so I guess I've got a question for you to consider as we start off. So the question is, do you remember, and I appreciate for all of us, might be a bit difficult, but do you remember your biggest worry, what your biggest worry was when you first started school or college or university, whichever one was closest? Do you remember what one of your biggest worries was or were, whichever is the correct tense there? Think back, what was one of your biggest worries when you first started? Oh, I didn't have a little drink.
Do your own washing at
the university. Do your own washing at, wow, that's it's not on my list, but that's a good, that's, you know, it's a good, oh, go on, Mary, I have a bit of a open. Yes. Very good. What would it be like if you if English isn't your first language and you have to come and learn that? Do you know, mine was, will I make any friends? You know, will I have any friends? You know, I'm here, I know, right? I know, kind of thing, like as a young Tim there, you know. But you go to a school that you know, I went to a school, secondary school, where I remember, so sorry if there was some kid from my primary school, but none of my primary school kids that were friends, I remember, came to the same secondary school as me. And so there's a question, you know, a worry was like, will I make any friends? Because, you know, in terms of, because I'm ginger. my best friend is ginger, thanks Emma. So, you know, we were just, you know, stuck together, you know, as watch each other's backs for all the school bullies that China was out to get gingers, you know. Yeah, it's true, people don't, for some reason, have a problem with gingers, seems to be, you know. But you think, you know, I'm going to be with these people for this school year, for 5 years, especially if you're secondary school, you're there for 5 years, and you're thinking, will I make any friends? And it's so important for us. I think friendship is so important to us. And we had a sermon over the summer about looking at friendship, and Matt was sharing us about looking at David and Jonathan's friendship. But, you know, how we are as a community of believers and what we're looking to build as a community is so important. And friendship really sits at the heart of that, because that'll help us in terms of be part of, you know, doing mission together, be going with one another through different great successes, as times of good and times where we're struggling. And for us, for the leadership team, one of our sort of key verses for loving one another, it comes from John 13, 34 to 35, where Jesus says, you know, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. You know, community is so important in the church, and community is built on good, solid relationships with each other, which is built on top of the foundation of a personal relationship that we have with Jesus. As we look to what Jesus has said for us and how he loves us, that stirs us in terms of how we build loving relationships. And then as a community, how we love one another. And then for the outside community, how they look on to us and say, hey, there's something about this community because there's a love here. You know, there's a love here. And that is part of our witness in terms of response to actually what Jesus is saying. It's like people know who you are by how you love each other, out of how I loved you, how you reflect that. So we want to be a church that does mission together. That's one of our drivers, to be invested in mission and do it together. And to have that, we want to be a church that has strong and deep friendships and relationships that will endure. Whether you know you've been here for 45 minutes and this is your first Sunday morning with us, or whether you've been here for 30 years, you know, it's about cultivating a culture of developing relationships that will encourage, that will challenge, and will support through different generations, different seasons. And I don't know about you, but I know that there's been, you know, certain relationships and friendships that I've had where people have moved on and gone into different contexts or just relocated. And you know the strength of those relationships when you don't catch up for a while. And you seem to then, you have a chance to catch up, and it just feels like you've never been apart. Do you have those friendships where you kind of, with some people, where you kind of think, actually, we haven't seen each other in years, but then come back together and it just feels like actually, like it's not like we've been apart at all. Those are sort of deep friendships, deep relationships that we need as you know, as humans, and that we want to see grow in this church. So we're going to be looking at a very famous bit of scripture that is most often used as a reading at weddings to kind of remind couples, you know, romantically about how what love looks like and what love in the foundation of marriage looks like. But we're going to be looking at it in the context of, okay, how can we apply it to a community setting, from how we build and show love in the community, but also what does that mean for us as on one-to-one relationships. So it's going to come up on the screen behind me, but it's 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. I'm sure you all know this, but it says this. And so this is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. It says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. What a lovely bit of scripture, really encouraging. And before we go further, I think it's really important to say, it never says love is easy. So it doesn't say love is easy. Love is actually, in respect, this love is incredibly hard. I think when you start off, we have to accept that love is hard, but we're called to it. You know, when Jesus says love one another, this is, you know, the love that he is talking about. So rather than having a 3-point sermon, we're going to have a 10-point sermon, but it's going to be a shotgun approach. So, you know, they're not going to be very necessarily long or deep points, but we're just going to be sort of just coming up with different ones. If you just look at this and just thinking about, actually, how does this, you know, different aspects of this, that these topics in terms of, you know, patience and, you know, envy and boasting and pride, you know, these are sermon series, do you know what I mean? Sermon series in their own rights that we could spend lots of time. So all I'm doing is going to be providing a couple of different snippets, really, just little nuggets that are just for us to think about, to consider in the context of how do we build relationships, how do we build community. Do you know, as preachers, and for the preachers in the room, you know, we always want to bring something fresh, you know, something that no one's ever heard of before, from the, in a good way, not because you kind of come off the weird end of scripture, but, you know, that you think, oh, wow, it's amazing, you know, because you want to be like, oh, that sermon, wow, something new that came from there. But, you know, the reality is most of what you hear is probably you're going to have heard before. You know, it's simple truth that hopefully God is just going to impact in each of us and just bring something up anew for us. So, you know, whether all 10 points resonate with you, whether 1 point resonates with you, whether no points resonate with you, you know, this, it's just about asking us, and we're going to pray in a moment, just asking us, God, please would you just help this come to life? Actually, is there something in my life in terms of relationship building or from a community point of view that you just want to reveal to me? Please, can you just do that? So we're gonna pray that for us, and then we're gonna have a look. Father, we thank you that you are love, Lord. You first loved us, so therefore we can love others. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, we pray for us ourselves this morning that, Lord, you would just reveal anew to us your word, that you would inspire in our hearts something fresh for us. Lord, we ask that you would just provoke things in us that would help us to consider how we can express our love for one another as we look to build community here at Jubilee. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing, and we thank you that you are with us. And, Lord, we just ask that you would reveal more to us this morning. Amen. So love is patient. That's our first point. Love is patient. Loving relationships take time. Yeah, that's what they do. They take time. Told you already, you're thinking, oh, that's pretty simple. It is simple. That's what we're here to do. We're simple people. Sorry about that. And we're bringing simple truths. Loving relationships take time to build. Relationships where there's mutual trust, where there's friendship, there's shared interests, shared history, shared experiences. Take time, and you have to persevere in those friendships. You have to persevere in those relationships. Have a commitment to want to see them grow. Have a commitment to say, actually, how can I meet up with whoever it is? How can I see this relationship flourish? You know, it's a heart that we've got to have, and it takes patience to do that, because they don't just happen overnight. We nurture them. We want to see them grow. Loving relationships, you know, patiently listen. So when you're having conversations, a bit of an application point, what I can find myself doing sometimes when I'm having a conversation with someone is I can find myself thinking about, actually, they're making a point. How can I help them with their problem that they've got currently, that they're just talking about? And I can find that I'm not necessarily listening. I mean, I'm not necessarily listening to what they're saying or being there all in the moment. What I'm actually doing is just thinking, when is the moment where Tim can bring his wisdom into this situation? When is that opportunity going to present itself where I can be like, hey, great, thank you for this. Let me tell you what you need to do, you know. Loving relationships are patient, where you patiently listen. You know, it's good to be there listening to someone all in the moment. I can also be guilty of, on a Sunday morning particularly, because I guess for most of us this is our time where we gather together as the church to on a whole to kind of wanted to sort of catch up, where I'm there thinking, you know, I could be having a conversation with Emma, just an example, because obviously don't chat at home, but, you know, have a conversation with her. And I can just be glancing around thinking, well, actually, what's my route going to be, because I've got some business to attend to today. So how am I going to go from Emma and wrap up this conversation and go chat to Chris at the end of the aisle and then move round to Stephen here? How am I going to do that? You know, I can be guilty of this. Maybe, you know, others can as well. You know, we want to build relationships. We want to be patient, right, with those relationships. So I know there's obviously a balance and a tension where we kind of might have stuff that we want to get done. But let me encourage you to, when you're having conversations or you're trying to build friendships, be all there. You know, be all there in the moment. Be all there listening. Be all there engaging. And just enjoy the conversation. You know, enjoy it. So that's our first one. Love is patient. Next, love is kind. You know, we are a loving people. That's what Jesus calls us to be, a loving people. As he has loved us, so we are to love one another. So we are called to be kind, to be warm, to be inviting, you know, not judgmental, but accepting. And, you know, for most people, as we thought about that early question, it must be really intimidating to kind of go into a new context, a new setting where you don't know anyone and think, actually, well, what is it going to be like? I remember I've recently, and there's a couple of examples I'm going to use today, started playing back for Shepparton Pumas, the wonderful Shepparton Pumas. They've kept themselves going. So for those who don't know, it's a church football team that we used to run here. Then we kind of let them go and be their own sort of community team. And then during COVID, I kind of wasn't really playing much or wanted to take a break to kind of give myself some separation time from them. But over the last couple of months, I've been going back and been playing, and I've been really enjoying it. You know, it's really great. But there's a nervousness because there's been a huge churn over of people in the club, you know, from when I sort of was leading the club to where it is now. And even though you think, you know, still some familiar faces, you think, you know, well, I could think for myself, I suppose, that, you know, well, Tim, you should have such confidence because, you know, you kind of helped start this club. And I found myself going back into it, feeling a little bit of nervousness in terms of actually, you know, will I gel with some of these people that I make friends with, some of the new people that are in there. And they're all lovely, they're all great. There's a lot of younger guys now, but it can be intimidating to kind of go into a new environment. And for us as a church, you know, I think we're very welcoming and warm anyway, but think how much more intimidating must it be for someone who's coming in here for the first time into a church environment where you're kind of exposing yourself to think, actually, I'm posing to myself those questions. Actually, is there something more to life than this? Is there something beyond what I can see in the physical? And for someone to come through those doors, you know, it's really important that we're warm and we're welcoming and we're inviting and we're showing love to these people. And I know there's a challenge because I found myself doing it when I was sort of preparing this. I think there's two schools of thought around this. One is that when new people are coming in, partly is you want to say hello and you want to welcome, you want to greet, and equally that's met with the tension of, but I don't want to overwhelm them because they're new, right? So I don't want to overwhelm the new person, like someone stranger coming into a local's pub. Everyone puts the pints down and stares at them. You know, you don't want to be like that. We don't want to overwhelm them. But equally, you know, and then in our heads we can have a sense of, I'll do it another time. But you know, I think there's some challenge for us about, well, how can we express our warmth and our welcome and our kindness, where we don't always have to kind of like necessarily approach them to be, I don't know, tell me your life story, because I kind of think I've told this person already my life story. Please, can you just say hello or something like that? But how can we choose to opt in to kind of be welcoming and warm and friendly on a Sunday morning, particularly for this context, rather than possibly opt out, where it's saying, actually, I'm going to sort of justify myself why I'm not going to engage. Just something for us to consider. Another point just around this one is, it's good to mix things up. Do you know, on a Sunday morning, I can be so... in a sense, I suppose, wary of it. Not wary, it's not the right word. But I could be so wanting to not be... it turns into a bit of an introvert. I suppose I can turn into a bit of an introvert. And you're all lovely people. Do you know, you're all lovely people. You're all nice, warm, smiley faces under your masks. But, you know, I can find myself thinking, oh, I don't want to go and say hello to... You know, not because I don't want to say hello, but because I think, you know, there's nervousness for some reason, like about it. And so I catch up with the people that I'm closest with on a Sunday morning. But actually, let's mix it up. Do you know what I mean? Like, here's a challenge. If you're likely to see the people that you'd spend most time on a Sunday morning during fellowship with during the week, why not think about talking to some different people on a Sunday morning? Bit of a challenge. Mix it up. You know, think, actually, how can I have a catch up with someone I'm not really likely to see? Or I can have a catch up in the week on the phone or a text. Mix things up, because that's how we're going to kind of get more connections, you know, more networks and strengthen this community by each of us, I suppose, pushing ourselves out of our comfort zones. And the last one on this one, there's some that are a bit deeper and some that others. Otherwise, you'll be thinking this is a 10-point sermon that's going to go on for about 10 hours. Last little one. Think about not trying to do all your church business. If you do church business, if you have an agenda when you turn up to church, think about not doing all your church business on Sunday morning. You know, actually, how can I, as particularly for those, I guess, who are in positions of leadership or responsibility, how can we not do all my church business on a Sunday morning? Can I find space to do that in the week? I know it's busy. I know there's kind of like, there's practicalities where some people are gathered. How can I just enjoy fellowship on a Sunday morning, enjoy catching up on a Sunday morning, rather than thinking there's always an agenda? Let's enjoy each other's company rather than think, I don't know who was saying about Ruth, wasn't it? About if you see Ruth approaching you, you know, you need to kind of give yourself some space, because she's got a list of tasks that she's going to rope you into. But she does it so lovely that you just think, I can't say no, can I? Next one, love is not envious. Okay, so in loving friendships and loving community, we don't get jealous. You know, we don't get jealous when your friends start spending time with other people in the community. You know, we're one community, and we don't get jealous if there's aspect where your friends are going off and spending more time with other people, and you think, oh, I've not had a chance to catch up with them. Or we don't get jealous at the success of others. You know, sometimes in different seasons, God, there's a clear anointing where, you know, activity from God is flourishing. And you know, if activity in your area isn't flourishing that you're responsible for, we don't get jealous at the success somewhere else. We celebrate success of what God is doing, what God is at work doing in his church, and how we get to be part of that. So let's not be jealous, let's not be envious, let's be people who would choose to celebrate, choose to support, and we don't turn the situation around to make it me-focused. And do you know, it's also okay if you've been leading a group for a really long time and someone in your group says, I actually like to go and join a different group for a season. Do you know, that's okay. That is okay for us to, you know, in the life of the church, that is okay. Doesn't mean that someone's out to get you or they're betraying you or you've done something wrong. Could just be that someone likes to have a bit of a freshen up, mix things up. And that is okay. So we are called to build one another up. So let's build one another up. Love does not brag or boast or vaunt, apparently. Vaunt is I've never heard that word before, but apparently that also means the same thing, and maybe in the King James, to vaunt. It doesn't brag. You know, the heart of boasting is the need for attention, and there's a need for affirmation and for acceptance. Hey, look at me. Did you see me put this chair out? I didn't put any of these chairs out this morning, but did you see me put this chair out? Look at the placement of this chair. That is incredible. No one's placing a chair better than that at all in this entire hall. Do you know, on Thursday, I absolutely nailed the Bible word. You know, absolutely smashed every single question. Every single question is like, boom, boom, boom. Literally, you know, the highest disciple of Jesus loved. You know, it sounds a bit odd, doesn't it? But at the heart of this is affirmation. You know, there's a need for affirmation. There's a need for acceptance. And you know, as a church, as a community, you know, at the heart of this is Jesus. You know, that's you know, it's not a cop-out, it's not on Sunday school. At the heart of what we're doing, like I said, it's the firm foundation that we're built on, is a relationship with Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. And Jesus accepted us, and he valued us. And he saw the poor, the lowly, and the person who thought they would just always be part of the background furniture. And Jesus accepted them. Jesus loved them for who they are. Not for any more than that, but for who they are. And Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you. And he loves you. And we are called to love like Jesus. And therefore we are called to love one another and see each other and value each other. And we don't need to boast of our skills or our worth or our contributions, because loving relationships are secure. You know, they're not insecure. They're not worried about you know, how your value is only, your worth is only measured by what you do. Loving relationships are it's because of who you are. That is why you're loved. And I know, you know, from a church context, and especially from a leadership context, you know, as elders, we don't always express that value, and we know. But we do love you as a church. We do value you. We do appreciate everything that you're doing. And sometimes, even though it's not expressed all the time, I just want to say that you are valued. You are loved. And let's be, so our challenge to us is let's be generous and encourage one another and to let each other know how valued we are as a community of believers. And in friendships, it's good to encourage one another. Love is not proud. If you want to develop deep, meaningful friendships, fly-by conversations won't lead to them. How many of your conversations might follow a similar pattern? And that applies to, you know, this applies to anywhere, whether in the workplace, church context, just with your neighbours.
But how many of the conversations might follow this sort of pattern? Hey, how are you? Fine, thanks. You? Yeah, good, thanks. You all right? Yeah, awkward silence. How's work? Yeah, work's fine, thank you. Yours? Yeah, good. Family all right? Yeah, family's well, thanks. Family's well. Yeah, my family's great, thanks. Cool. See you next week? Great, see you next week. You know, if you have those, how many of you have those conversations? You know, just reflect, how many of those conversations are conversations that we have? You know, whether in the workplace, a church. It doesn't matter how many years, for me personally, I've known you. If our conversations never go beyond that, all will be as acquaintances. All will be as people that just nod in the street. You know, that's all we'll be. But if you're desiring, I'm someone who's desiring to have deeper, meaningful friendships, because the stronger the friendships are in the community, the stronger they'll endure, that we'll last, we'll be together in terms of whatever God's calling us into, in terms of seeing our own gifting go develop, or seeing, you know, stepping into what God's calling us to do. You know, and if you're someone else who wants to see more meaningful friendships in that sense, then you need to express a love that isn't proud. Because our pride is one of the things that will stop us from being vulnerable. As it will tell us that you can't expose yourself to others as to who, you know, if they see a sense of who you really are, you know, that then they won't like you, their opinions of people of you will go down if they get a chance to see behind the Wizard of Oz curtain. You know, if they see behind that, then it will go down. But we already mentioned just above that we're loved. I say above because in my notes it says above. But, you know, in terms of, I just mentioned earlier, you know, we're, as a people, we're loved. You know, that's what, in this community, there's a love for each other. So when you make yourself vulnerable and share, I promise you, instead of finding yourself feeling a sense of exposure, what actually happens is it draws people in to you, and it draws in a relationship. Last night at the pub, so we had a game, then we went to Puma's Christmas do, and I was at the bar. I was driving. I had my pint, and I was ordering a softy, and one of the lads at the bar was like, because obviously they're on it. That's what they wanted to be last night. They were on it, on the beers. And they're saying, Tim, you're just having a softie. What's happening? And I was saying, oh, I'm driving. He's like, oh, you're driving? And I thought, oh, well, why not? Might as well, you know, commit to it. I was like, actually, I'm preaching tomorrow morning at church, you know. So firstly, I don't want to be on the beers anyway in terms of get drunk, because that's not what I'm about. But I was like, I want to be... I want to be here to enjoy friendship and to celebrate why we're here. But I want to, just be very prepared for this morning as well as last night. But I wanted to do both. So I was like, I'm having a softie. And he's like, wow. And so I'm thinking in my head, I'm thinking, okay, well, this is going to go one of two ways, you know, in terms of when you think about, you know, it's a bit about sharing faith. But what actually did was it drew him in. It drew him in from a friendship point of view, where he's like, wow. You're preaching. And he's like, oh, again, what church do you go to? And we're sort of exploring that. And then he started being really funny, to be honest, about how if I had been drinking, what it would have been like me preaching Sunday morning in terms of like with a hangover. But we were having a good conversation. And then do you know what happened later on? So then, because the boys, they're on it, they want to be heading off somewhere else after, you know, 11, I'm thinking, I'm so tired. Like, you know, I'm 30 in a couple of weeks. I'm like, I'm so tired, you know. Been up all day, one of the different lads was like saying, you know, he's like, I'm going around the group being like, so you coming out, and it got to me, it's like, Tim, are you coming out? And I was like, I'm driving, and he's like, you're driving? And then this guy who I'd been talking to at the bar turns around and says, yeah, Tim's preaching at his church in the morning. And I was like, that's what you want to do is evangelism, just get someone else to do it for you. It's always good. And so he starts to tell them what, you know, what's happening in the morning. And there's a little group of them. And then, like, because, you know, they're I've been involved in Pumas for a long time, and these aren't two guys. They're like, wow, you're preaching. So he's like, what church do you go to? And I'm saying, oh, it's Jubilee Church in Shepparton. It's, you know, by Thames Mead School. And he's like, oh, okay. Another one was just like, respect. That's a respect reason to not be coming out tonight for further beers. You know? And I'm like, that's great. But the point is, when we, you know, when you make yourself vulnerable in these conversations, and some of these lads, I was able to really have good conversation. On the Saturday when you're playing football, you're kind of very much in the mindset of playing. But it's nice to be out with them socially. And I was able to, because some of them I'd known for almost like seven, 8 years, but I was actually, well, what's happening in your life? You know, where, you know, what's happening with your work, but actually going into it. Some of them are just like, in a way, sharing quite a lot of what's going on in their lives. And that comes from taking time to build those relationships. But being vulnerable with each other, where you're exchanging like what's going on for you, they're sharing what's going on for you, but it's so much deeper than this sort of surface level of just fine, how are you? Fine, great, let's see each other another time. Let me encourage you, if you want deep, meaningful conversations, be vulnerable. Be vulnerable with people. It draws people into the conversation. Don't be afraid of it. And the Bible encourages us to bear one another's burdens. You know, there's some that we have to carry ourselves, but there's some that we can bear with each other. When you build those relationships, it helps you to journey together, I suppose, during difficult times, rather than feeling you're isolated on your own. It's good. It's good. Next one, love does not dishonor. Loving relationships bring honor. Do you know, and this is very much what Paul is writing here to the church in Corinth. He's trying to, I guess, that point about, you know, you're, as a community, you're a witness to the rest of the world as to who you are, you know, and the love that you're mirroring, that Jesus has for you, that you're mirroring to and showing to one another is a demonstration of to the outer world of that you are my disciples because you love one another. And we know that the church in Corinth was getting up to all sorts. I mean, it was getting up to all sorts. Arguments, sexual morality, frustrations with one another, just disunity. And Paul's saying to them in this one night, you know, a reflection of love is that love brings honor in terms of how you conduct yourselves, how you care for one another, how you look after one another, because it demonstrates of who you are. So let's be, you know, in friendships. Bring honor to one another. Love is not self-seeking. Loving relationships aren't developed for exploitation or manipulation or for you to be able to achieve your individual personal ambition. That's not what loving relationships are developed for. We're encouraged to be selfless in our relationships and put others first. If ever you're finding yourself thinking, why am I pushing this hard, I suppose, in a conversation, just ask yourself, actually, Lord, you know, Lord, is there something underneath? Have I got an agenda here that is kind of just going on? I think actually I need just to maybe take a step back and think, actually, Lord, is this self-seeking? Is this kingdom building? Is this what's going on? You know, loving friendships, loving relationships are not self-seeking. Love is not easily provoked. Do you know, it doesn't say that love doesn't get angry, because there's absolutely a place for a righteous anger. You know, as you get you stirred up for love of justice or fairness, that in when there's inequity or inequality facing people, that generates a sense of what is going on, you know. But Paul is saying here that love is not easily provoked. And you know what? We love Jesus and we're passionate to help him do mission together. That's what, you know, I'm going to keep saying this. So hopefully just, you know, always the vision. Just keep dropping it in, keep mentioning it. And you know what happens when you're passionate? You have ideas and you have enthusiasm and you have energy. And you know what often can happen? Other people have the same. You know, other people can have the same enthusiasm, same energy, same options or opinions that come up. And sometimes, and by sometimes I mean quite often, those things can come into conflict with one another where you think, actually, I'd like to do this. So that's like, well, I think we should do this. And then it kind of is like, whoa, now we can find ourselves in a bit of a situation. And you know, it's important to understand that that's okay, it's inevitable that we can come into confrontation with one another over ideas and opinions that we have. It's okay, because you know, iron sharpens iron, there's sparks, there's friction, it's okay. But it's about how we deal with that confrontation. That's the challenge. It's not the fact that there's no place for confrontation, because there's got to be, for the generation of ideas, surely, for the momentum, for movement to come along, where you go, actually, we spark off each other. And obviously, you know, the word confrontation can lead us to be like, but it's okay. Because it's about how we react in our confrontation. You know, how we, because confrontation could be, I just disagree with that. That's a confrontation. Doesn't mean I'm going to offer you outside in the car park after the service type thing if you disagree with, you know, something with what I'm saying. But what we want to avoid as a church, when we're looking at this culture, is a culture that is unable to articulate how we feel about these things, unable to articulate our frustrations, unable to articulate things that are making us unhappy. Because, you know, when we're unable to do that, it can lead to hurt, and it can lead to pain, and it can lead to carrying things that quite often you might not need to carry if you were able to just to say, I'm feeling this. And actually someone else say, okay, well, how do we help work ourselves through that? Because then we're carrying things, what it can lead to is dissatisfaction. It can lead to disunity. It can lead to arguments or, you know, in one sense, people leaving the community because they're feeling, I've been unable to express something. So it is good to confront things, good to bring, you know, how we can think, actually, how do we bring healthy conflict resolution into the floor, into our relationships, into our, you know, in terms of how we build community into our relationships. And it's uncomfortable. I know it's uncomfortable. Because I've, you know, whether you're in a workplace, whether in a personal friendship, you know it's uncomfortable. You just feel like you need to say something, but you're not sure. And then you can just sort of end up carrying stuff. And in terms of this idea of this being angry and why you shouldn't bottle it up, it's because, you know, for some of us who've been maybe been carrying things for a while, you may find that there's, you know, the game Buckaroo, you know, there's about loading up onto this donkey, I think it's donkey, and then it bucks, and all the sort of the things that it's carrying, the baggage it's carrying comes off. You may find that someone places a straw on there, but that's not the full weight of what you've been carrying, you know, for time. But what happens is you explode at them and is thinking, oh, why? Where is this coming from? You know, I just said to you, can you help put the chairs out on Sunday? And you've just exploded. What's this happened? That can't have led to that reaction. So it's important that we're not easily provoked to anger, but we find a way that we can express how we're feeling so we can work through it and work through it together. And I know that, again, you know, sometimes we might get frustrated because we think, oh, it's a decision that's not gone my way. And there's you know, there's a respect from a leadership point of view, whether that's a group leader or, you know, from an eldership point of view. And we have to just even get to a point of maybe just, well, we agree to disagree. And that's also okay to kind of be like, I don't have to always be like, we're going to leave it here, but we just disagree about these things. Please, please just talk. If you're carrying stuff, talk to someone. Talk to us, one of us as elders, because we, you know, help process, especially if it's to do with one of us. You know, quite often as a, you know, a pinnacle of leadership, you can quite often be the point of people's frustrations, but without knowing it. And if you're carrying stuff where you think, actually, we've, you know, personally let you down, that's what you're feeling, we may not know. And actually, we can end up continuing doing the same things. And please, so please, please do share. You know, be vulnerable with us. Because I promise you, again, it's not going to lead to, it's going to draw us in to closer relationship, not being, you know, going to come down with like a heavy hand. We just want to help process and see each other become the best of who we can be. And this one spins into the next one. So love keeps no record of wrongs. And this one's so important. Do you know there is no place for grudges within a community of believers? Love forgives. Jesus tells us of a parable of a servant who is before a king with a huge debt. You probably know this one. And he's got a huge debt to pay. And, you know, the king forgives him of his debt, extends grace and mercy to him. And the servant himself has debtors who owe him money and far less. And he absolutely holds them to account. I think he ends up throwing some in prison because they were unable to pay his debts off. And his peers were like, that's unbelievable. You've been forgiven so much by the king for your great debts, yet you're unable to forgive those who owe you. You know, how is that? How does that work out? And then you know the story that the king ends up dealing with the servant. It doesn't end up well for him. The story is a call to forgiveness for each of us, to recognize that we have been forgiven for much and we should forgive others for much too. Doesn't mean forgiveness is easy. I know for myself it's not. But we are called to be a people who extend grace and extend mercy to others around us and within our fellowship. Please don't let unforgiveness blossom in your heart, because it can, and it'll lead to bitterness, it'll lead to anger, and it'll do you no good. Because it goes further, I suppose, that for me, that some things I recognize in myself is that when I'm unable to forgive or unable to kind of process a situation, I can find that every time that situation, even if it's someone different or everything else that's this person who I'm struggling with does something, I'm always looking at it with a lens of what that hurt was that they've done. I somehow can be unable to separate myself from that. Even when they're maybe doing something that's actually quite good, I can just see it in some sort of tinted frame that just says it's not good, and it ends up just clouding everything. So it's important for us just to, as hard as it is, to ask for, to give forgiveness out and to keep no record of wrongs in friendships. And lastly, love loves the truth. Do you know what unites us as a people? I've said it a few times. It's Jesus. Do you know, Jesus unites us. And this loves the truth is that this is what unites us here. Yes, we want to be a community that is warm, friendly, embracing, that is, is not proud, is not boastful, doesn't get jealous, is honors others, is not self-seeking, doesn't eagerly provoke to anger and doesn't hold records of wrongs. But we must be a church that celebrates, rejoices in the truth. And the truth is, I'm going to read it out, the Nicene Creed. That we believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We've been singing all about that in the worship time, wonderful. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. And on the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. That's what we believe in. That's why we come on Sunday mornings, to celebrate in that truth. Because that's what we're here to celebrate, what he has done for us and how we can respond out of that and love one another. All comes from a celebration of what he has done, and the truth is what he is doing in our lives today, in this community and the community that we're here to serve. That is why, that's what we're here to celebrate. So we're going to invite the worship team to come up. They've got another song that we're just going to get to explore the majesty and sing of the majesty of God. And like I said at the beginning, it's just very much 10 points that I've just really found that God placing on my heart as I've kind of been going through this. And I just want to pray for us, that God will help us to, whatever he's stirring up in us. I don't know what he's stirring up in your hearts, I suppose, about this. If there's, from none of those points, I hope he stirs something up, but around something else, but none of those points to actually, well, even all 10 of those in some capacity, how can that help me in terms of how I want to approach building relationships or building friendships or building this community up? because we want to be on mission together, want to serve God, see what he's got in store for us in our personal walk with him, in the gifting that he's given us, but also the gifting that he's given to each one of us. How can we help support each of us to step into the best of who God has in store for us? And so I'm going to pray, we're going to worship, and if there's anything in there that actually you want to, you know, ask for prayer with, we'd love to pray. You know, as elders, we'd love to pray, and there's obviously lots of faithful folk here who can pray with you, but be vulnerable, I suppose. Be vulnerable, and actually if there's things you're struggling with or wrestling with or anywhere in between, it's good. Don't let your pride stop you. Don't let some fear stop you. Be vulnerable. Bring it into the light, and let's help each other. So let's stand, and we'll pray, and then we'll worship. Lord, we do thank you that you are love. The love that you have for us is wonderful. The grace and the mercy that you extend to us is unbelievable, Lord. Everything you do for us is unbelievable. Every breath that we're given is a mercy from you. Lord, we want to build a community here that honors you, that honors one another. Lord, would you help stir us up with a love for one another? We know that this is not easy. In fact, it's incredibly hard, Lord. But Lord, your help is so important. And it's so good. Lord, please would you stir us up? Would you reveal things to us that you want to, that maybe is holding us back in building closer and more deep and meaningful friendships within this community? Lord, we do ask that you would embolden us to love one another, that we would be examples of what a loving community looks like to this town around us, the neighborhoods that we live in, our workplaces. Jesus, we just ask that you and your Holy Spirit would come and would minister to us now. Amen.